Good morning, everyone. This is Elliot Nagin. I'm the media director here at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Thanks for joining our call this morning. Just to remind you again, the Union of Concerned Scientists is an independent science-based advocacy group that has been a nuclear industry watchdog for 40 years. We are not for or against nuclear power. Our goal has always been to ensure that the industry operates its reactors as safely as possible. If we do not get to your question during this morning's briefing, please email us at media@ucsusa.org, and we will get back to you as soon as we can. Please do not contact our experts directly. We have been overwhelmed with requests for interviews, and unfortunately, we don't have the capacity to respond to everyone. If you have trouble getting everything down that you need from today's briefing, there will be a transcript and an audio file on our website later today. Now, we are holding these briefings daily at 11 and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. If you plan to participate, please call in well before 11 o'clock to allow us to start on time. Now, after our speakers are done this morning and we open the phone to your questions, please ask only one question and, if necessary, one follow-up. And please, mute your phone after you ask your question. Otherwise, the sound of your typing will make it difficult for everyone else to hear. This morning, our speakers are David Lochbaum and Dr. Edwin Lyman, who will update us on the latest developments in Japan. We will then open the phones to questions. David Lochbaum is the director of UCS's Nuclear Safety Project. He is a nuclear engineer by training, and he worked at U.S. nuclear reactors for 17 years. He also has worked as a safety trainer for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Dr. Ed Lyman is a senior scientist in the UCS Global Security Program. He has a doctorate in physics and is an expert on nuclear plant design and the environmental and health effects of radiation. Also on the line this morning is Ellen Vanko, our Nuclear Energy and Climate Change Project Manager. Ellen will answer any questions you might have about the impact this disaster might have on the nuclear power industry in the United States. I will now turn the phone over to David Lochbaum.
Good morning. The power line that was temporarily run to the site on last Friday has allowed workers to attempt to start re-energizing safety equipment on units 1 and 2. Those efforts have been slowed by the need to initially proceed cautiously because of the water spraying efforts both from the ground and from the air into the spent fuel pools on units 3 and 4 that required workers to shield the electrical cables and connections from the water that was being sprayed about. Then the efforts were further complicated by the fact that the hydrogen explosions or some damage within the reactor buildings has required workers to run temporarily lines to connect power from the line that was run to individual components in those structures. So that's slowing down the efforts to restore a more conventional cooling system for units 1 and 2. Units 3 and 4 continue to be the priority continues to be spent fuel pool efforts over the weekend to get water back into the spent fuel pools largely succeeded. The radiation levels have gone down. There's indications that water in those pools has been restored and the temperatures have stabilized, whereas before they were heading upwards. So those conditions on 3 and 4 spent fuel pools have been much better than they were just a few days ago. On units 5 and 6, the spent fuel pools have been, the cooling systems have been re-energized. They're running. The temperatures have not only decreased, but they're now plenty of margin to safe to available that wasn't there just last week. So the conditions are improving across the board. There's still some challenges laying ahead for the workers. There was a report just not too many hours ago of smoke coming out of the Unit 3 reactor building that required workers to once again be evacuated until that situation and the cause of that problem could be determined and better fixes or alternate plans made. So there continue to be challenges faced, but the situation overall is much better than it was a couple of days ago. Thanks, Elliot.
Thank you, David. Ed Lyman.
Thanks. I don't have much to add. I'd just like to raise one point, which I have before. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission had a briefing this morning where they discussed the crisis in Japan and what they were doing back at home. They've announced initiation of a 90-day quick look review of regulations and procedures that would address some of the issues that we've seen in Japan. However, the NRC staff seem to continue to take a lot of credit for the plans that they put into place at reactors in the years following September 11th to address what would plants do in response to the loss of large areas of the plant due to fires and explosions. This is partly due to address concerns about the vulnerability of U.S. plants to aircraft attack, and the fact that there may be conditions created by an aircraft attack that would be beyond the design basis of the plant. However, those plans, we should note that they are secret. Those plans are not available to the public because they're considered security-related information. And so the public is unable to evaluate whether those plans make sense and whether, in fact, they differ significantly from the kind of response that we've seen in Japan. And so I would urge the commission to, as part of their review, to share more information with the public about the nature of those plans and whether or not they would, if similar plans had been in effect in Japan, if that would have made a material difference to the response. One issue that I see is that because that type of event is considered beyond design basis, the requirements for additional pre-staged equipment like diesel generators and fire pumps would potentially not have to involve being qualified for seismic events. So it is possible in the event that this was precipitated by an earthquake and not an aircraft attack that some of that equipment would not be available. So I would urge interested media to press the NRC for more details about how credible those plans are. Thank you.